one word that's different in these two verses. Other than that, they're identical. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, in Proverbs 14:12. And then Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And some of us who aren't real good in English, and we learned our English from the Bible, which isn't always proper English according to today's standards, and spelling especially. I'm not sure which one of those is grammatically correct today. Is either one of them work? Either one of them works fine for me. So either one of those are a memory verse for next week. It's just a difference in the reference and one word. I think Proverbs 14:12 sounds almost more like King James language. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the way I usually quote it. The title on our message tonight, it can't be wrong when it feels so right. Some of you, I was wondering if anybody get that. I'm looking at most of you that probably doesn't, young people, that doesn't mean anything. Some of us were saved back when even the world knew that rock music was from the devil. Christians certainly understood that back then. One of the first songs, worldly type songs, contemporary music they call it today, that was popular back in the 80s was a song sung by Debbie Boone. I don't think she wrote it, but she sang it. And one of the lines in there, in the supposed Christian song, and this is the direction Christian music has gone for a long time, they've gone much farther than this. One of the statements in there is, it can't be wrong when it feels so right. And the song was written, like a lot of these songs, you're not sure if they're talking about a relationship with the Lord or a relationship with her boyfriend. And it really could go either way, because the Lord was never mentioned in one of those silly little songs that was popular. So I thought, boy, there's a philosophy that's exposed in this verse. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. Now, let me give you a warning before we get started tonight. I've got a lot of material I want to give to you, a lot of verses I want to turn to. And I want to warn you, we're going to get into some deep philosophizing tonight, all right? I hope that you feel smart tonight. You guys wear your thinking caps? Did you drink a lot of smart water before you came? We're trying to figure out a date for this summer. I've got a tentative date for a few things, and one of them is the boys' trip. And on that boys' trip, we always make sure we get plenty of smart water. And it's starting to work on some of them, but a lot of them hasn't quite kicked in yet. But I'm going to drink some smart water tonight. The first part of the verse, there is a way which seemeth right. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. And I'm going to look at that first part of the verse for point number one on your outline. And the word that goes in there is it just seems right. It just seems right. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I just believe in my heart. Well, it just feels right. It just makes sense. It sounds right. It sounds good to me. We talk sometimes, you hear people use the phrase, well, we need some common sense today. Actually, we need some uncommon sense in our world today. We've got too much common sense because that's what we're talking about. It seems right. There's a way that seems right. It just sounds right. Kind of the way some of us got through English literature, English grammar class. Well, that just sounds right. But if you're from the Midwest, you can just squeak by English grammar if you're from the Midwest. If you're from the East or the South or the far north, you're not going to pass English grammar that way. But some of us squeak through English grammar by just saying, well, that just sounds like the way you should say it. So, no matter where you're from, spelling doesn't work that way, trust me. If you get a 50% on a spelling test, to me, that's good. But teachers didn't always think that way. But anyways, it all depends. I want you to understand this, when it just seems right, that all depends on what to use a popular term. I don't like to use popular terms, but I hear it a lot. It all depends on your worldview or your mindset. I think a better word maybe would be your soul's view, how you see things in your soul. I won't ask for a show of hands, but a number of people have asked, did you hear Trump's message last night? No, I really didn't need to. As a matter of fact, I know that, oh boy, I'm going to make some enemies there. But I heard everything I needed to hear today. Everybody on the left hates it. Everybody on the right loves it. And by the way, when President Obama was a president, it was just the opposite. He could say no wrong to the liberals, but he could say no right to the conservatives. And when President Bush was the president, it was just flipped back. In every other president, they flipped back and forth. And to me, it's just one of the silly things of our culture today that it doesn't matter what he says. If I'm from the different party or I'm on the other side, I'm not going to hear anything he says. I'm not going to listen to a thing that he says. Everything he says is wrong, or everything he says is right. And it's just silliness today. And I got something in the mail today that it really got me much more thrilled. I got this certified type document letter that I'm a winner of the Publisher's Clearinghouse. I'm going to get $5,000 a week forever. Congratulations, huh? You want me to share it with you? By the way, I believe that just as much as I believe the stuff that people read on the internet. Just as much as people believe the news, I believe in that. It's a bunch of silliness. And just get into the Word of God and find out how God... our problem is we don't think right today. We think the way the world tells us to think, one way or another. But let's go on here. On your outline there, it just seems right. And this is something that I see increasing more and more in our day. And the word that goes in there that starts with an F is fatalism. Fatalism is very popular today. Fatalism, by definition, it says that there's a God somewhere that controls everything. He may be the force. May the force be with you. He may be the stars. I hope my stars all line up. I thank my lucky stars. It may be just karma, or it may be Calvinism. That God's predetermined everything, and ultimately, we're just following along. We're just puppets. We can't control that. So the Bible teaches different, if we're willing to get into the Bible. And then there's, I thought of this, and I don't want to go this direction very far, but the verse just made me think of a number of things here, that it seems just right. There's a way which seems right to man. And along with that fatalism, and by the way, that's why Calvinism's becoming so popular in Christianity in recent years, because this increase of fatalism in our world's philosophy, and Christians usually just follow along with the world's philosophy. And some of you remember my parents' generation, I call them. I can remember one of my mom's favorite songs was Doris Day. You guys even know who Doris Day is? Her song, Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to seize. Okay, I could sing it to you. I could probably sing it like Doris Day, too. I don't know. I was looking that up, and of course it means whatever will be. It's nobody knows where that came from originally, but it sounds Spanish, it sounds Italian, but it's not grammatically correct for either one of those languages. But it's a popular mentality, a popular philosophy that everything's going to happen, just don't worry about it. Just have a cheerful fatalism. And then my generation, we still haven't caught up to the young people yet. Remember the song, Don't Worry? Be happy. There's our battle cry for cheerful fatalism. And now, you guys even remember that, don't you? For the younger ones, it's just simply this. They shorten it down to one verse. You know, it's got to be short enough to fit on a post or whatever, a tweet or whatever. That's it. Whatever. Whatever. I don't care. Whatever. Or just go with the flow. Whatever. That's the mentality. Well, it just feels like there's not much you can do about it. Let's just kind of go along. And maybe turning the corner, just about getting around the corner here. I want you to see another direction I thought of when I was looking at this verse. How I see my origins determines how I see everything. And this is something very important. If you watch the news and you filter the news through the Bible, you see how foolish our news is today, what people call news. And this is just one of those examples. How I see, where did man come from? If I don't know where I came from, I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I'm going. And that determines everything. And there's basically three, and there's all kinds of branches of this, but there's three philosophies. The first one, you guess what goes in there, starts with an E? Evolution. There is no God. We're the products of chance. We're the highest rung in the evolutionary ladder, and we must save our universe. You know, that's the theme of most of our popular movies today. We've got to save the universe. Other forms of life has risen to the top and eventually fallen or succumbed to another. Something will eventually replace man at the top. That's evolutionary teaching. Remember the movie Planet of the Apes? Huh? They're going to pass us up. We know what's going to happen. Sometimes I watch NBA games, and I think they have. But or Star Trek. Huh? That's the great evangelistic film of the evolutionary movement. Or the common thinking today is, well, there's something of our own invention that's going to pass us up and take over the world. And we're not going to be able to stop it once it gets this momentum. We're going to fall to the bottom of the rung just like the gorillas did. Right? And what is it that's going to take over? The machine. The robot. Or robots. The computer. They're going to take over everything. And that's just the mentality. That's the... What? Alexis. Alexis, preach a message for me, all right? they're going to just take over. That's the mentality. And then there's the second one is creationism. God created us and leaves us to figure it all out. We must learn from our past and make a better future. This is, by the way, the view of being a creationist does not make you a Christian. I love to study sciences. I love to study creation versus evolution. But just being a just believing that there was a great flood, that doesn't mean you're saved. If we could prove that we found Noah's Ark, that wouldn't make anybody get saved. And being somebody who believes in God, I'm convinced that most scientists believe God, but they're afraid to say it in public because they'll probably lose their job. Just believing God doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you have the right philosophy, and it doesn't make you saved. And then there's biblical creationism, and there's a world of difference there. It says God created the universe, and I just try to come up with a short definition, for His own glory and pleasure. Man is the center of God's creation. The main purpose of man is to glorify and fellowship with God. All of God's creation was made to bring honor and glory to Him. And man was the capstone of all of God's creation. And with that, God has given us specific abilities, responsibilities, and limitations and instructions concerning our design and purpose. It's very important we remember that. We'll go over what we're going to look at in the second part of this verse. Man's glory and dominion is subject to God's glory and dominion. You understand the Bible, you realize that we don't have to worry about climate change because that's something we cannot control. That's something God completely controls. Our world's got so many things mixed up because they believe that we're evolving and the survival of the fittest and all that foolishness. But with biblical creationism, God created a perfect world with a perfect man and woman in it. But something changed everything. Everything in God's entire creation changed at the moment that Adam sinned. The little bit of news I heard today, I heard the statement made, I think twice, and you hear this often, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. There's only one truth, and that's Jesus. But the world's got all kinds of truths out there. Now, there is a way that seems right, makes perfect sense to man if they've got the wrong philosophy. But we got a biblical philosophy, we see right through that. And there's no sense in debating because they've got it all figured out, and we're not going to get anywhere trying to debate with them. We're going to pray and share the gospel with them. Secondly, the verse says that the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm going to say, when I study these two verses out, both verses end the same way, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God showed me something that I've never really looked at it in this sense before. So I want you to see this tonight. I'm going to focus on this one thing that God showed me from that part of the verse. I'm going to give you a warning, first of all. Never underestimate the demonic influence in your mind. The devil is a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of all lies. He very easily gets us to believe lies. In fact, he doesn't have to work hard at it. We can believe lies. Even as Christians, we're not exempt from that. I've said often, and the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And I've caught myself, and God began to teach me this a number of years ago, since I've been here as a pastor, that oftentimes the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit ought to be our prayer partner. But oftentimes, we don't even realize it, the devil's our prayer partner. If we could hear ourselves praying and accusing the brethren, that's what the name devil means. Lord, teach me to pray. Clear my mind. Don't underestimate how the devil, the god of this world, can get in your mind and control your thoughts. Don't ever think you're exempt from that. Many people have fallen because they thought, well, I'm saved. The devil can't control my mind. He's controlled your mind since the fall of Adam. And I want you to see some things tonight. The ways of death. This is a key statement here. I've got to look at my paper that I gave you to make sure I put that on there. The ways of death are not referring to a future event. When we think of death, well, when my time comes, that's death. We're not referring to a future event, but rather a present reality. We are living among the dead. We are the living dead today. What do you mean by that? Well, we're going to show you something here tonight. You know, I looked at that verse that way before, maybe. The end there are the ways of death. That path is leading. We're on that path of death. We're going down that road already. We're going down the road of death already. I want you to see, first of all, our Adamic or our fallen nature. Just spell Adam with an I-C at the end. Our Adamic nature, we call it. Our fallen nature. By that we mean that Adam was created innocent, without sin. He wasn't created holy, he was created innocent. There is a difference. He was created in the image of God, right? I guess that's right there. I can't leave it out and let you finish it, because it's right there. But he lost everything he had in the fall of man. We say sometimes, well, I'm created in the image of God. No, Adam was created in the image of God. Eve was created from Adam. Adam alone was created in the image of God. I was created in the image of who? I was procreated in the image of Adam. What he was is what I became after the fall. If we're created in the image of God, God is holy, right? Adam was created without sin. He was created innocent. Not holy, but innocent. But we are procreated in the image of man. Adam died when? Well, the Bible says he lived to be, how many years old was Adam when he died? 900, I want to say, some years old. When did Adam die? At the very moment he ate the forbidden fruit. Was it an apple? I don't know. Probably a banana. I don't know. Probably an orange. Last night at the roller rink, I thought, I'm going to bring a snack along, and I know there's not going to be anything worth eating at the roller rink, and plus I could afford to buy anything there. And I sat down and ate my oranges, and a couple of kids came by and said, "What is that?" I said, "Well, it's better than anything you're going to get." And the best part about it, I got to eat the whole thing, and they all just looked at me, and nobody asked for a piece of it. But everybody I saw with nachos or whatever junk food they had, everybody's, "Can I have some? Nobody asked me for a piece of that. I got the whole thing to myself. But Adam, he died at the very moment he sinned. Romans 5:12. You know the verse, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Wherefore, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We were born dead. Death passed upon us. We have death from Adam. And we're not talking about a physical death. We're talking about a spiritual death. We were born, a statement there, we were born under the judgment of God. We were born dead in sin. I want you to turn to those passages of Scripture real quickly. I'm just going to read them. If you can turn there and keep up with me, I'm going to read them. We were born under the judgment of God, dead in sin and at enmity with God. John 3:15, you know verse number 16. "As whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." The world's already condemned. He didn't have to condemn the world. "But that the world through Him, through Christ, might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is," what? "Condemned already." We're under the condemnation when we're born into this world, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Ephesians chapter number 2. What a great chapter this is. "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." We were born with the nature of Adam, the nature of the devil himself, the father of all lies, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. We were dead in sins when we were born into this world. So when we look at that verse, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We're already in the ways of death. We're already going that way as a natural man. I'm going to jump down to verse number 12 for the sake of time in Ephesians 2. "That at the last ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." Talking about before the grace of God came in to our life to save us. But I want you to understand this, and the statement next on your paper there, I didn't put bullets for the bullet points. The next statement there is, we are still, even though we're saved, we're still bound by death today. We're still creatures of death. We're still subject to this flesh and to this mind that is controlled by death. There's a way that makes perfect sense in my mind. That way is the way of death. My mind needs to be transformed. And there's only one way to transform my mind. And that's in Romans 12. We won't even get to that tonight. But I want you to see an illustration here. We're still bound by death. Being saved doesn't deliver me from the present state of death that I live in now. My flesh is still the same as any lost person. I still have that sin nature. Right? I still have that sin nature. just like every lost person was. My mind is still corrupt and vile, just like any lost person. I'm glad people can't see some of the things that go through my mind. Because we've got a fallen nature. And if we're honest, we see that. We know that. We can't do what we can't trust our mind. We can't trust our heart, our inner feelings. We've got to go beyond that. Our flesh is still the same as any lost person. One day, thank God, our flesh is going to be changed. Amen. The death is the our physical death is the process of change, because when our body dies and decays in the ground, or if the Lord comes before that, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We've got to be changed before we can see. This flesh will not see God face to face. This flesh, this mind, has got to be changed before it'll come into the presence of God. This vile mind can't come into His physical presence in heaven until that change takes place at the resurrection, or the rapture we sometimes refer to it as. Nothing, I want you to get this statement, nothing can replace the convicting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit that comes to me from the Word of God, or from the law of God. You see where I'm going here? That's why God commands us to meditate on His law. Because the law of God brings conviction of my sin. Now, to be quite honest with you, when we choose verses to memorize and meditate on, they're usually verses about the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God. But God says I ought to meditate on the law of God that condemns me, that reminds me continually of who I am and what I am, that I'm a sinner, condemned, and completely aside from God. And then I want you to see this of Paul's testimony. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. You're familiar with these verses. I don't know if I'll read all of it. The example of Paul's testimony. I don't suppose there's anybody in here that would be foolish enough to say we're as good of a Christian as the Apostle Paul was. And yet look at the struggle that the Apostle Paul had, and then look at the only way to victory over that struggle that he gives us in chapter 8. But in Romans chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 13, the law was given that I might appear sin, that sin might be, I'm going to just skip down, verse number 14, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold, I'm bound by sin. But the law is spiritual, the law shows me my sinfulness. Verse number 18 says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth a spark of divinity, right? Dwelleth no good thing. Well, I can figure this out on my own. I've got the answers. No, there's nothing good in my flesh. And by the way, Paul was toward the end of his life when he wrote this. We're talking about a mature servant of God, the one that God used to give us much of the New Testament. He says, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law which is, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You notice that? He delights in the law of God. He meditates on the law of God. But I see another law in my members. That's my body. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, and is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul realized he's a Christian. He's a great Christian. Better than I'll ever be. And yet he says, I'm bound by this body of death. There's a way which seemeth right to the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord, so that when the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And we walk not, later on verse number 4, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It doesn't matter what I think, what I feel, what I want to do, what I feel is right in my heart. What does the Spirit of God say? For they are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit are of the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Verse number 8 says, the flesh cannot please God. There's nothing I can do on my own. I can't think right apart from the Word of God. We're bound by our sin nature, by death. We're trapped in death. We were born, the next statement on your outline there, we're born. I'm going to look at these verses before we go. I'm looking at the wrong page. I've got my pages mixed up here. We're to put off our fleshly nature. We're to put it off. We're to remove it. We're to take it off. The Apostle Paul talked about dying daily. Putting off our flesh. Putting off the way we think. The way we feel. They did something wrong to me. I've got my little scorebook and I'm going to get back at them. They said this, I'm going to say this. I'm going to show them a thing or two. Put off that and walk in the Spirit and walk as Christ. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. Look at these verses in Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to see this. Ephesians 4, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught of Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Not my truth or your truth, but the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What controls our thinking? Our deceitful lusts. The devil himself. That's our fallen nature. We put off concerning the former man, the old man, corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth to his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let him continue to control your mind. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working in his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And notice this great word in verse number 39. What's the first word in verse 29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So that's what's in there. Don't let it out. Let Christ transform your heart, your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, just let it go. There's another silly song. Am I the only one that's never seen? Is that Frozen, that song? That's going to be written on my tombstone. I've never watched Frozen. Never listened to that song one time. let all bitterness and wrath and anger, just let go of it. And clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put off. This is the definition of putting off our fleshly nature, dying to our flesh, dying to who we are. We were born in the image of Adam. We're subject to the God of this world, and our mind is corrupt and polluted on every level. But one other passage of Scripture is really a commentary in Ephesians, is Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, That's one of those verses, the first few verses. My pastor preached on those three or four verses of this book for about 2 months. And I think of that every time I read these verses. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members. Don't do what you think, what you want to do upon the earth. Fornication, this is what our flesh is made up of. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's a way which seems right. Well, it just seems so right. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way it should be done. It makes perfect sense to the one that's living in the flesh, to the mind that's still under the corruption of death. But we're to put that off and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but laid aside everything, died to himself that he might live as God would have us. And we're to let that mind esteem others better than themselves. I don't know about you, but I've not figured that one out yet. How to put others ahead of myself all the time? That's something we're never going to figure out in this side of glory. Because we still have that sin nature. And we by nature think of ourselves. I've got to be right. It's my, you know, I'm the one that's right. Everybody else is wrong. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We're walking down that path of death, and we need to learn to die to ourselves. And the only way we can die to ourselves is giving ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God in this book that He speaks to us from. And living in this book, letting the Word of God and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God transforming us. That's the only way we're going to start to think outside of the realm of death, that road that we were born on, we're traveling on, till we end this life. And we get into the Word of God and let Him take us high to the higher road. That's a good way to put it. Take the high road. Walk with Him. Walk with Christ. Meditate on the things of God. Let Him transform our mind. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end there are the ways of death. We live in a day today where modern Christianity, I'm just amazed how that so many Christians today, you can't tell them anything because they've got it all figured out. Of course, they don't read their Bible. They don't go to church, but they've got it all figured out. They know all the answers. There's a way that seems right to man, but they're still bound in death. They may be saved. They may be on their way to heaven, but oh, their eyes are going to be open when they get there. God gave us His law to meditate on so that we can see the truth today and how foolish and how blind